Thank you. So first I want to acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Renee Shaw. She's an emergency department physician at UCSF, and she and I are working jointly on this paper. Go down, and so I'm reading this. As I read, the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. No relationships to disclose. So, okay. So for some quick background, so I think for a long time, hospital delivery systems practitioners are aware and have focused on this group of frequent users or high utilization patients in emergency departments and in inpatient settings, in large part to both manage resources, but then also to think about cost controls. And more policymakers, particularly state policymakers, have been focused on this issue of frequent users. And here I'm going to focus on frequent users of emergency departments, in large part because we do see that the publicly insured, those insured by Medicaid, have the highest visit rates among all ED utilization patients. And even more so with the Affordable Care Act and in states that have expanded their Medicaid programs under the ACA, there's concern that you'll have an influx of patients now with an insurance coverage source, and so we want to be able to understand and manage their care. I'll say, so we're going to look at frequent users. There isn't a common definition of what constitutes frequent use in an emergency department. There's been several studies. One review study in 2010 found that the modal definition was four or more visits in the year, and so that is one of the definitions we use today, but we do test some different definitions. There is some literature on frequent users. Oftentimes, it's isolated to a single hospital system, so they track the patients that come into their hospital, rather than across a large state or multiple hospitals and multiple systems. What that research does find is that frequent users tend to not be healthy. It's not people going in for primary care and things like that. They have multiple chronic conditions. Behavioral health is also a big issue when we're looking at that population, and so that's some of the existing work. And so for this study, we really wanted to just provide some profiles of who we see as frequent users in a state large and diverse like California. It's a descriptive study, and, you know, in order for policymakers, practitioners to develop adequate policy interventions, different populations or different groups of frequent users may need different types of interventions. And so this provides some background on understanding who that group is. So quickly I'll go through. Our data source is Hospital Discharge Abstracts, the state of California, along with all states, I believe. The Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development collects abstracts on all emergency department visits and all hospital inpatient encounters from all licensed hospitals operating in the state. This is the universe of all emergency department visits that took place at a licensed hospital in California. I'll say I've used this data in the past, and in a lot of other analyses, you're only able to do what we call visit level or encounter level descriptives. It's difficult to link across patients to understand frequent users. We're using a non-public version of the OSHPID discharge data file, which has a unique patient identifier, so it does allow us to link patients across both their emergency department and their inpatient utilization. And so this is the kind of the construction. It's a scrambled SSN, a pseudo identifier, but it does allow us to link across multiple patients and actually multiple years. I'm only going to present information for 2013, but we have looked at it across different years. And so we collapse to the visits. We pull information that we have from discharge abstracts regarding demographic characteristics, but also health conditions that we can observe in the discharge abstracts. We also have au pair source, disposition, so all of the common things that you do find in discharge information is available to us, and that we're able to see at the encounter level and then collapse down to the patient level. So for the demographic characteristics of gender and race ethnicity, we use modal values in the instances where we do have multiple encounters for patients. Insurance coverage is something we wanted to dig into a little bit deeper in this study. Oftentimes people, when they do look at coverage across multiple visits, they just take an index visit, the first visit, the last visit. We wanted to kind of look more at all of the visits people are making. We created a few different types of categories. When you have multiple visits and multiple payers, we kind of created hierarchical categories with, if you ever had Medicare as a payer, then you were coded as Medicare. If you ever had Medicaid as a payer, that's the next step down. You were coded as Medicaid, and so on. We also looked a bit into folks that seemed to change coverage over the time period that we're looking at. And then our chronic conditions and our disease flags are based on ICD-9 codes. Here we've organized those into kind of more meaningful categories using ARCS, HCUP, clinical classification software, the CCS. So those just kind of group all of these. And my, there are a lot of ICD-9 codes. Luckily, we weren't using ICD-10 codes because I think those are even more into these more kind of meaningful categories. And so this is just a quick thing on the quality of kind of our linkages, how well they do. You'll see, so the first part of the panel for the full sample, these are the total ED visits, so about 12.7 million total ED visits in 2013. When you look at the full patient population, it's about 79% have a valid RLN or this scrambled social security number. What we realized is when we looked at some demographics that were available, 40% of children, those under actually age 15, had a valid RLN. Because in a lot of ways with the Affordable Care Act and other reasons we chose to, and because of the linkage, we chose to focus on the non-elderly adult population for our study. So those age 18 to 64. When we do that, what you see is the linkage rate is better. We have valid RLNs for about 90% of all encounters in the data. And so quickly, though, even with that, there is some selection going on in who has an RLN because it is a scrambled social security number. So you see slightly younger here, the blue bars. This is just the percent of encounters that have a valid RLN by different demographic characteristics. So as you get older, you tend to have more likely to have a valid RLN on the encounter, which is what we use to link. The uninsured, and then Latinos and Asian Americans also have slightly lower RLNs. This could be because they don't have social security numbers, and it is just simply a scrambled social security number. So then to move to the findings, so again, we're looking at 2013. We were able to identify more than 3.5 million individual patients who had at least one emergency department visit in a hospital throughout California. And again, these are non-elderly adults, so these are folks ages 18 to 64. This group of patients made more than 6.7 million emergency department visits, representing more than half of all the ED visits that occurred in the state in that year. About 1 in 8 of these emergency department visits resulted in a hospital admission, so nearly 80% were outpatient emergency department visits. And again, one definition of frequent users is 4 or more ED visits. Using this cutoff, we find that fewer than 10% of all ED patients would be designated as frequent users, but these patients do make up a disproportionate share of all visits, which is consistent with other work in this area. I will say, too, also, we do focus on 2013, but we've run similar analyses for data from 2009 through 2013, and the numbers remain remarkably consistent, in part, I think, because we have a very large sample. But yeah, the things. And so here is kind of this classic chart. So the left-hand bar is the percent of patients by the number of visits they're making annually. So the orange is the one visit. So these are patients who we observe making one visit. And then it corresponds to the proportion of total ED visits that they're responsible for. And so what you see here is that, you know, you have your frequent users, which are the three top bars, 4 to 6, 7 to 10, more than 10. So that group, which is about 9% of total ED patients, is responsible for over a third of emergency department visits. When you drill down into the very heavy users, so those that are making more than 10 visits, they're 11% of all ED visits. So it's kind of, and again, this is consistent with other work. It's a fairly small group is making a disproportionate number of visits. So here are just some, again, by these different categories of frequency of EDs. These are just some simple bivariate statistics. These are the demographics. Not much difference in mean age, females slightly more likely, English speakers. So the bar, or the column on the far right, is all ED patients. So this is any patient who has made at least one emergency department visit in the course of the year. And then the other categories is how many, the frequency of their use. So you see English speakers are significantly more likely. Non-Hispanic whites and African Americans also have larger shares in the 10 plus visits relative to their total ED populations. And so now we move into the, as I was mentioning, the insurance coverage sources. And so one thing to note is you can only really be observed as having a multiple payer if you do have more than one visit. So that is something to note. Overall, we see about 7% of all ED visits that we do observe changing insurance coverage sources. But what really jumps out here is the role of public insurance, whether it's Medicare, whether it's Medicaid, as you are in the higher user groups. Once you're over in the 7 to 10 and 10 plus visits, you know, almost two-thirds of patients are being covered by a public insurance source. That's either Medicare or Medicaid amongst the frequent users. So it is, you know, in terms of public payers thinking about how to manage care, it's an important issue. And then this last one is, again, these bivariate statistics on different chronic conditions that we observe. I didn't go over it as much, but this is not necessarily the primary diagnosis. The discharge data contains up to 24 diagnoses. And for these categories, we actually used all available information that we had. So if it was coded in the emergency department discharge, we used it, obviously. But also if it was coded in the inpatient discharge, we also used that. So you can imagine in the inpatient records, they may be more likely to have coded up some of these other chronic conditions, but we are using all of them. And it didn't have to be the primary diagnosis. We've done some work in kind of trying to suss out whether the primary or these other diagnoses, whether emergency departments or inpatient diagnoses, if there are differences across those. I'm not presenting any of that, but those are kind of next phases of trying to understand the health conditions a bit more. But what you see is you do have a pretty high health burden among those that are frequent users. So that far right panel, 41% are coded as heart disease, diabetes, 32%, hypertension, 54%. The other really big thing, asthma, 31%, and those do, you know, obviously get larger as you go up. But the behavioral health issues really pop out. So then we kind of threw everything into a regression multivariate context to kind of see what things happen. We ran a simple logistic regression using multiple definitions of frequent use. So 4 plus, 7 plus, 10 plus. That goes orange, green, purple. So purple is that really heavy use group. So these are the demographic characteristics. I mean, the one thing that pops out here for me is that those younger, the reference category here are the older adults, 45 to 64. So younger adults are more likely to be frequent ED users. And then we move on to the health conditions. And again, this is when we're controlling for all of these other, you know, all of the observable things that we do see in terms of demographics and health conditions. This is what things look like. So I'll say, too, for the uninsurance that I'm showing here, the reference category is actually uninsured. So this is kind of the difference between those that we have, patients that are ever on Medicaid versus those that we're observing as being uninsured. You see they're still significantly more likely, even when we're controlling for a host of, or what we can, of health conditions. And again, the thing that really jumps out, particularly as you move across the definitions of frequent use, is the mental health and substance use issues. That purple bar is, oh, I should say on the right, it's the odds ratio. So folks that have a mental health diagnosis in some abstract are more than five times more likely, have five times the odds of being a frequent emergency department user. So I think the key takeaways we've already kind of gone through. I'll just say quickly policy implications. Again, our institute focuses on state policy, and so there you have Medicaid. California has expanded its Medi-Cal program, and the influx has been larger than was expected. Medi-Cal now covers nearly one-third of the total state population. So there are kind of these desires to better manage that care, but also control costs. And so some of the things that the state has in the works with regard to their Medicaid policy is they are looking to do health homes under the ACA Section 2703, which is trying to then manage care. They also are renewing, I think they just did it, their 1115 waiver, and they're trying to do some whole person pilots is one of the things. We're really integrating mental and behavioral health, and kind of looking at what folks need in order to maybe stay out of these high care situations. And then they've also recently approved a federal waiver to revamp the state's drug Medi-Cal program, which is the substance use, provide substance use. And so I think all of those are ways that the state program is trying to address some of the issues around what we're seeing for emergency department use. I have some limitations, but I think I'm out of time. But yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions.
I have a question. What do you think the percent of this ER visit actually be preventable ER visit?
Yeah, I mean, preventable is one of those interesting ways to look at things, right? I know in the past, we have run some of there's the New York algorithm that Billings did where you do avoidable and these different sorts of things. We did run some of that, and at the end we decided to just present kind of what things looked like by diagnostic code, in part because I'm working with an emergency department physician, and I think from their perspective, while useful on the one hand, the coding schemes that use ICD-9, not knowing kind of the severity and other things that you can get from the discharge abstracts. That said, state policymakers, though, are trying to impose, say, higher copays on what they call avoidable visits. And we've searched around, and you try and understand how are they defining what might be an avoidable visit and how a person would know it's an avoidable visit. And I think that's the key thing. So we can, like, for example, in the avoidable visit algorithm, it'll say a headache or abdominal pain. 70% or 80% are non-urgent or preventable in a lot of ways, and yet there is this small proportion that are not. And so trying to understand why people go to the emergency department, I think, is the next piece. And maybe using ICD-9 codes isn't the best way to do that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So mental health. So I did collapse a few different. I think there's about 10 CCS codes that are collapsed in this mental health. I will say schizophrenia was one of the largest ones. It was about a quarter of the frequent users. Schizophrenia is the only one I pulled out explicitly. We're working on another paper right now that's focusing only on mental health frequent users. And so hopefully there we're going to dig in much more deeply, where we're only looking at the population that has a mental health diagnosis, and then trying to understand who among them are frequent users and not. Yeah, thank you.